What up? It's Wednesday.
What's going on, Scott?
I don't know, man. Listen, so do anything cool? Are we car ready yet? I mean, the season is almost here. The
season is almost here.
I can feel the warmth.
Mm-hmm. It's hot out this week.
You never notice how like the days of the week in between the weekends are always really nice?
Yeah.
Then the weekend comes and it's freezing.
Or raining.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I was at this weekend. Like I had this thing, and I've been on the attempt to make my 350Z brake great again.
Okay.
And so I did a bunch of brake stuff the other week, and then this week I decided I'd finally I like to do things in stages.
Okay.
You know, I like to modify in stages because I feel that if you modify in stages, it's much faster to figure out what the problem is. Whereas if you take every part you want to put on the car and you throw it all on at one time, you always have that like, well, which is the thing here? So what I had done was I had put the I put new brake pads and two-piece rotors on my 350Z like last week. And then I bed in the brakes. And then this week I went this weekend I threw the stainless steel lines that I wanted to put on the car.
Nice.
Back in, bled the brakes, did that whole thing. And I don't know, like, if for anybody that bleeds brakes, I don't know if you have this, listen, I have a ridiculous amount of tools for, at least for the average bear.
Okay.
Right? So I have, I've had, like, a Motive makes a brake bleeder where you actually pressurize this tank, and you can put the cap onto the master cylinder, pressurize it, and then just bleed out from the brakes. So it's like you don't need two people. You don't have to pump the brakes.
Okay.
I have that. I have one of those pneumatic air bleeders where you basically hook up an airline and it creates like a Venturi effect, and it actually creates suction on the line. And it will, so you, again, don't need anybody else. You can just lift,
Yep.
Whatever. Okay. So I have that. And then I also have the old, good old Mighty Vac, where it's basically just like a hand pump. And then there's like this little reservoir there, and you can create suction real quick, open up the valve.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's because I don't want to have
to do it with two people.
Right. Because I don't know if I'm going to ever have anybody around to help, right?
Yep.
So I have all these ridiculous tools. I've used them all at some fashion throughout my automotive career. But this was like the perfect storm of like, why you shouldn't buy a whole bunch of tools, right? so I put the brakes on the car. I mean, put the stainless steel lines in the car. I put fluid in the master. I have this little reservoir bottle, so mm-hmm. it keeps it full. I go ahead and I get to the back brake, and I bleed all the brakes using the pneumatic thing.
Yep.
And it's amazing. It pulls so much fluid so quickly that you're like, wow. I've done it, right? Mm-hmm. But the one thing that was super difficult about it was I couldn't tell how much air was in the line. Like, it just was so much air.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this doesn't feel right. I don't feel like I bled the brakes. I feel like I moved a lot of fluid. Like, the fluid, it was like, by the time I finished, it was really, it was clear fluid.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that. And then I was confident I didn't have it. I still had air in the brakes. So then I moved on to the Motive bleeder, which is a hot mess in my opinion. I've never had good luck with it. I feel like I'm always, the cap's blowing off, I'm blowing brake fluid. It's too much. So then I decided immediately that I didn't want to deal with that anymore, and I went right to the hand vac, which mm-hmm. worked okay, but I didn't feel like it was, I kept like the little reservoir has a little seal on it, and I couldn't get it to seal all the way, and like I was holding it tight and trying to pump, and then like, this isn't working. So finally, I just put my 10-year-old daughter in the car, and I said, hey, listen, you got to pump the brake. that's what we did. And then I took the car out and, absolutely beat the crap out of it, right?
Nice.
So that was my car project for the weekend.
So does that make you think that you want, like, maybe it would have just been easier just to do it with two people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I could have saved myself
a lot of time and error.
About $150, $200 with the tools. $200 with the tools. And all I had to do was have one daughter. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
So there's that. I think that it's that point where we're coming to the modification section of the year.
Yep.
Where you're starting to get all your parts ready and kind of get into it. And I'm pretty excited to get it back out there. Which reminded me that I really should have... I haven't ceramic coated my wheels yet.
Okay.
Like, I think it's like...
I haven't cleaned my wheels yet.
I understand. I know.
Mine are dirty.
Yeah, you're a dirty boy.
Yeah, but that's what the matte black kind of takes a little bit of... shows a little dirt on there.
Yeah, because it looks brown when you don't clean them.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is whack. but I think this is a time of year where I really got to clean the... I got to take a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
I got to clean the wheels, and I have to ceramic coat them so I don't have to deal with it so much of an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make life a little easier.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of why we came up with that ceramic coating kit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know how many people are looking at that, but we have them stored at KonigWheels.com.
Yeah.
Not bad. Let's see what else is going on. So what else we got going on?
You said all the new parts coming in. So like the something that I've been like totally torn on is like, do I want to start getting some parts for my car,
mm-hmm.
or do I want to just kind of wait out the storm of the high prices on markups on cars?
Get another car.
So it's like the impatience is like, I want to start buying car parts, but then I'm just like, maybe this is not the car I'm going to stay in for a while. So maybe I just want to wait it out and then maybe just trade up.
I don't like the limbo stage.
It sucks. I'm totally just like antsy. Like, you know, you want to make a decision.
Well, and more than that, I want to, you know, like, it's not so much even the decision. I feel like you want to do something, but like, you don't want to do something and then have it come back to backfire on you. Right. So,
which is why I'm not, because, yeah. Like, you know, I don't know exactly what I'd be looking for on the WRX, but, you know, a few upgrades. And I know they're doing, people who are tuning my car, they're getting a lot of power out of it.
What's a lot of power?
360.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty good in stock.
Yeah, stock turbo, yeah.
Just tuned? Do you have to do exhaust?
Probably. I mean, I'm sure little bolt-ons plus a tune, you're pulling out some pretty good numbers.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's impressive. And, you know, it's tempting is really what it is.
Well, but I think it's like, do you like the car or not?
Of course I like the car, but I like other cars, you know?
Yeah.
That's a problem.
I think you just answered your own question.
Did I? What was the answer? I didn't even get the answer out of that.
I think you just said that you like this car, but just not enough to want to keep it that long.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's
so then
that's been my issue forever.
So then you're moving on. You got to find another car.
Yeah, but I need to be able to afford it.
Did you watch Formula Drift this weekend?
Just a little bit, yeah.
So I think this season is going to be an absolute wild. For those of you who are Formula Drift fans, I think mm-hmm. it's going to be super interesting season. I think you have – first off, it was cool seeing Matt Field take a win.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's had a number of seasons where he has been the guy that has been in that top five, that has been knocking things down. And I think he's always been the guy that I felt like was off the cuff, like – you know, he's a champion driver. He's a great driver.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. I think we have a fair amount of drivers this year. We have we have Robert Thorne.
Mm-hmm.
We have Travis Reeder. We have Alec Robbins. We have Taylor Hull. We have
Daniel Stuckey. And we have Nick Novak.
Right. That's in pro. And then pro spec, I think we have, I don't know, probably three quarters of the field.
Yeah, we got a lot of pro
really
spec.
Weird.
Yeah.
Really weird. But what I will say is that I thought Long Beach, you know, didn't disappoint. There mm-hmm. was a fair amount of crashes.
Yep.
So if that excites you, well, you're welcome. if you are super into technical courses, I think this one does it. You know, Long Beach is not like... overly complicated looking, mm-hmm. but it is certainly complicated.
I definitely didn't think it looked overly complicated looking,
but it's super technical,
mm-hmm.
super difficult. It really is. And you know, and the one thing about those the walls and the tire stacks, when your car makes contact, even a little bit, it yep. seems to suck the car right in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's nowhere to go. There's cement walls everywhere.
Right.
So that's why they think the crashes are so, you know, intense,
mm-hmm.
intense, right? We saw some interesting things back. We saw Forrest Wang back in competition. It's interesting.
Dean.
He's the, yeah. And that to me was, I'm waiting for it.
I saw his first qualifying run, and you know they were.
It
just,
was insane.
Yeah, they literally were just saying, "Why do we have to start with that?" They were like, "That's damn near perfect right away." Like what, you know?
Probably one of my favorite battles of the whole entire weekend was Stuckey versus James Dean.
Right. Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Yeah. When I tell you, first off, Stuckey did not disappoint. Okay, he was absolutely. Killing it.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite part about
Max, I don't think it's showing on the screen. There you go. Hold a second. Yeah, there we go.
Hold a second. My favorite part. Lost an armrest. My favorite part about this match and this battle was that Stuckey was right there throughout the entire, battle on the chase run. Right, like he chased like a boss.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the lead run, he put down a really good lead run. Now, here's the thing. That first battle that they did, they pushed him to a one more time. They both had bobbles. Now, here's the thing. And you know, Stuckey made a really funny comment that they actually talked about in the live stream. He said, I think the Jared, he said, I'm super pumped about this battle against James Dean. And he's like, yeah. He's like, yeah. He's like, because he's like, I want to catch him now before he gets really comfortable in that new car. but, you know, Stuckey certainly put it down. And on top of that, his lead run in the first battle was great.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it really put them in a situation where they went to it one more time. And he, you know. Stuckey made Dean work for every bit of it, and mm-hmm. ultimately Dean did win. But I think that that was one of my favorite battles of the weekend. I think that I think Stuckey's a fun dude.
He is for sure.
And just seeing him out there, you know, doing the damn thing is awesome. And the fact that he really pushed Dean, you know, hard in that battle,
yeah,
is sick.
This is a great one.
Yeah, really. this is a good battle. So. So that was cool. It was nice having James Dean back. I think that there is going to be, especially as James Dean, kind of as Stuckey pointed out, as soon as James Dean starts to get more and more comfortable in that car. Cool another thing to note, though, if you didn't pick up on this, the car is converted to right-hand drive. That's a right-hand drive Mustang. So
No, it's not converted.
Oh, it's an actual right-hand drive Mustang.
It's like a Euro-spec Mustang or something.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So they gave James Dean the cool piece there. Adam LZ with a really hard hit.
Mm-hmm.
I think he toasted that baby. Real toasty, like. Toasty. There's a shot of them picking Adam's car up, the Mustang up, with the tow truck of the crane.
Yep.
I think they wrapped it around the frame rails. Like, I don't know. Like, it was just like, yeah. Was weird. Yeah. It was hard. It was very hard to watch. But you know, those walls, they suck you in, and they take pictures. I don't know what this is. This is cool. anyhow. Well. So here it comes again. Maybe not. Anyhow. So that was, you know, listen, I think I'm a big Formula Drift fan. I enjoy watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was a good event. I think this season is gonna be a little bit more atypical than your regular season as far as maybe what we've seen for the past few years. I think you got some shake-up people in there. You got Forrest Wang. You got James Dean. You have some newcomers, and you also have a few guys that have been earning the stripes as we go. And then you got some vets in the field like Travis Reeder and Alec Robbins, mm-hmm. Taylor Hall.
Yep.
I think Taylor Hall had a really good sesh. I think he just went out a little early, but you know, it's, you know, even Reader, like, I just, you know, I texted him. I was like, oh, you know, bum thing, but the car looked rad. Did you see the heliograms?
I did.
Holy cow.
They look awesome.
My goodness. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen a picture of Travis Reader's car, go onto our Instagram. I put a picture on there over the weekend. He has a custom set of heliograms. It's A and B profile, and the car looks sick.
It does.
So there's that. We're debating about that. Like, I'm trying to find, you know, the problem with his spec wheel is we did something custom for him knowing that he had that Street Fighter wide body kit on the E46.
Yep.
And my biggest issue with that is, you know, it's such a unique fitment. It's an 18.5 in the front, I think at a I think it's at a 6 offset, and then in the rear it's an 18x10 at a 1.
Yeah.
Right? So it's basically a 0 offset. And it's awesome, but if you don't have that wide of a body kit or you're not drifting, it's a real, like, you can't just pull that off.
Right.
So, you know, like, you know, I love to be able to put that part number into fruition, but those two part numbers, but I just don't think that there's enough demand on it.
Yeah, of course not.
Yeah. I don't know. Keeping up with some news that's been going on, I think this is hysterical. Did you see how many, if you've seen this, you stop me.
Okay.
Did you see how many cars? Oh, no. Did you see how many EV Hummers GM sold in the first quarter?
Oh, I forgot. It's a low number, right? It's a very low number. Right, I don't remember.
You guess. I'll give you a hot or cold.
Oh, no, I don't want to. I'm gonna,
come on.
I'm
hot
gonna,
or cold?
I'm going to embarrass myself no, on, this, hot or on cold. The first guess.
You said low number. Hot or cold?
All right. So what's a low amount of sales for one year?
No, not 1 year. Not even a year. The end of the first quarter. First quarter would be from January to April.
Okay, so a low number would be something. Okay, so
what do you think they delivered?
250.
That sounds like a low number, right?
Yeah.
You would say to yourself 250. I would go as far as say,
oh my god. That's crazy. No way.
They only deliver 2 units. Now, let me preface this.
Did I sound ridiculous with 250? I feel like that was pretty low. 250 is a horrible statistic.
At the end of a quarter, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
Wow.
2?
They sold 2.
That's horrible.
They delivered 2.
Delivered, yeah.
Not sold. They have like 95,000 orders for them. They delivered 2.
Jesus.
Now, let me put the caveat on this, because the reason I'm even bringing this up was I saw a bunch of automotive journalists harp on this.
Of course.
And I wanted to know, was there just a little more here? So there is.
Okay. Can I say something really quick?
Of course you can. It's a podcast.
Yeah. I don't remember who I was talking to, whether it was maybe you or Max or Doubt or someone. Yeah. But someone said to me, if I could only choose one EV car, go.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. You only choose one?
One.
I sat there for like 20 seconds thinking. I said, Hummer.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
You did?
Is that weird?
So you would have been 3 if they
could. I would have been 3.
No, I'm just kidding.
I think the Hummer's pretty cool.
They have 95,000 of these things, like, in people waiting for them.
Well, what are they waiting on?
So here's what happened.
Yeah,
I wanted to dive into this a little bit. So what happened was GM had an issue with the battery.
Yeah,
I don't want to say.
It's the one that went brick on the highway. Yeah, that guy.
Well, there's also been the water battery. Remember that whole thing? Moisture got into the battery, totally destroyed the battery. They couldn't get the thing to charge.
No, I didn't hear that.
All right, so there was an issue like that. I don't want to speculate on which exact battery issue it was, because I just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. From what we could see, there was a battery issue. And they went back to the development board sometime in quarter 4 of last year.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to figure it out. Yeah, that was the poorly sealed thing, right?
They went back into
production. They stopped things, and then they had to make new batteries. So the issue is they can't get these batteries now. They're trying their best.
But they have the units that need to replace batteries.
I don't think it's to replace batteries. I think it's a matter of, like, they can't build the cars without the batteries.
But were the cars made and they had the poorly sealed batteries and they're like, oh, we can't sell these?
I have no idea. That's a good question. Wow. But I do know that they only deliver 2. So if you take that number for the quarter 1,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and say there's obviously something going on there. Now, here's what I read. It looks like they say when they're in full swing, when they have these batteries, that they could turn out about a dozen of them a day.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see, just using that number, kind of what a fair production month should look like in Hummer EV land.
Yep.
But they also don't have a firm ETA on when they'll actually get batteries for these things. So the question is, we delivered 2 in quarter 1. How many?
Hey, if you double.
That's right.
If you double your sales, all you need is four. That's a really good statistic.
You know, and maybe that's what they're trying to do. They're just trying to have a good board call for the next quarter. Yeah, like
they're going
to
have.
How's Hummer EV sales? Oh, they're good. We have quadrupled.
No, they're going to say we are up 1,050% sales from last quarter.
Sales are monstrous. We're up.
People can't get enough of this car.
Yeah, I.
You know,
that's what. I'm sorry. Listen, here's the thing.
They just need.
And I'm not saying this from a bitter car enthusiast. I'm saying this from just a realist that is knowledgeable to a certain extent about cars. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt that as EB, and if you can go back and look at the track record, I've talked pretty positively about keeping your mind open to what these EVs can do since. What was it, 2020, 2021, when, you know, even Turnkey Industries and Travis Reeder piloted the first ever EV Formula Drift car. Yeah. All right. I've spoken positively. I've been proactively saying how I felt as things progressed, everything would continue to get better, and you would really see EVs start to really take popularity, acquire market share, figure out the problems.
Yep.
It's all letting me down. I think this has turned into the biggest pile of crap I have ever seen. And listen, I'm not saying that just from a car standpoint because you took away an internal combustion engine. It's just so difficult to believe on how many problems
that you run into with this stuff.
And nobody's planning, and there's no centralized board, and the government is the one that knows the least about what they're asking for from these vehicle manufacturers, but they're setting all these regulations and laws that don't really match up to what is possible or how you should plan this thing out, which is why if you would have the government basically outline and sit down with these automotive manufacturers and say, hey, how do we get to this?
Mm-hmm.
It would be a much more effective measure than doing the way they're doing. And they have just muddied this thing. And now we're seeing things like batteries they're coming out. Some of these cars are coming out before they're heavily, R&D'd enough.
100%. That's the main problem, I think.
No, you have other things where, there's no grid. There's no problems. You can't find charging stations. I mean, this whole thing is a hot mess. Just a hot mess. And then you have the other note where you have people like Tesla employees spying on people with the cameras.
Right. That's a big problem.
It's unbelievable.
So for the people who don't know, there is a class action lawsuit over some employees from Tesla who were watching, I guess, customers, I don't know, Tesla drivers, dash cam footage without them knowing. So it's kind of like an invasion of privacy type of thing.
So here's my question. My question is, and I don't know this because I didn't really go through this too much, but do the dash cams face the people? Or is it just recording what they're seeing in the road?
Recording what they're seeing in the road. But for instance, one of the examples of a video that they were saying is they're able to go back and share a video from someone's dash cam of the owner approaching the car butt naked.
Why would anybody approach the car butt naked?
Well, I don't know why he was doing that, but he was, and they were able to take a clip of that or something, and then send it around.
Now, I understand that this is disturbing, and I also understand that you don't know where you point your car. That could be a thing, but don't you think it's a little ridiculous? I mean, hold on one second. If the camera was on the inside of the car, if it had recording audio capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
They could overhear or eavesdrop on your conversations.
I think it does have audio capabilities.
Do they?
I think they do. I could be wrong. Because I remember seeing, whatever it is. It's accident collision stuff or whatever when people get it on their dash cam. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the Tesla ones come with some kind of audio, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't have a Tesla.
Yeah, I mean, look, I would think that, if that's the case, all right, big problem. I red flag it. If a camera is pointing out the window and you walk by your car naked, I think you deserve everything you get.
I disagree.
All right, so you want to walk in front of your car naked?
I don't think there should be a repercussion of it, you know, video footage.
Tell me the time and a place where you think that walking in front of your car naked is acceptable.
Acceptable?
Understood. I'll even give you understood.
That's a tough one.
All right, I'll give you understood.
You forgot your clothes in your car.
That meant you exited. All right. So let's all right.
You forgot your clean laundry in the car.
We're gonna do this a couple times. We're gonna come up with scenarios that we feel could possibly lead to having to walk in front of your car butt naked to be picked up on the camera. Okay?
You
go first.
You had a really rough day.
Yeah.
And you're covered in a mess. And you brought your clothes to the laundromat.
Right.
And that's all you had left was the clothes that you brought to clean in the laundromat.
But you left them in the car and you were naked.
Yeah. So then, then you go home, you get out of your dirty clothes.
Right.
And then you realize you forgot your clean clothes in the car with the rest of your clean laundry.
I mean, that felt a little sketchy to me, but I'll go with it. Okay.
We had to think about some sort of possibilities.
All right, let's go back and forth. All right, I'll give you a scenario. Yep. You park your car in the garage.
Yep.
And then you realize you go take a shower.
What a garage is a lot more possibilities. Just saying.
I understand.
I was thinking on the street.
Well, I think if you're naked on the street, you deserve everything you're going to get.
Okay.
Is that fair?
I don't know, man.
You don't know.
People have bad days. You never know what happened.
I would like to highlight this. You feel at any point it's acceptable to walk in public naked.
I didn't say acceptable, but sometimes maybe you find yourself in a situation where you just kind of have to do it.
Okay. Let me go as one far. Let me take this one back a little bit. Let's hypothetically say you are a police officer.
Uh-huh.
Hypothetically.
Uh-huh.
And you are anywhere in public, including a residential street.
Okay.
And somebody walks out naked.
Okay.
Acceptable or not?
No, it's not acceptable.
Not acceptable. Okay. So now that we have that part, how can I then say a blessing for the person that ran out to their car and Tesla people are laughing at them? What about the neighbors? So if the neighbor was recording them doing TikToks in the middle of the sidewalk, and then this dude comes out naked in the background of the thing, you would say,
You're painting a hard picture here.
All right, listen.
There has to be some kind of reason. Listen, there's a lot of scenarios in the world that can happen, and there has to be some possibility of this being acceptable. You know? I'm not trying to back it.
Let's go back. My turn.
It was your turn.
I didn't give a scenario. I commented on something. What I'm saying is, all right, here's another scenario where this could potentially happen.
Uh-huh.
You have a garage where you keep your car.
Yeah.
This is where I was going.
Okay.
You have your washer and dryer in the garage.
Okay.
You are in the shower. You clean off.
I don't have either of those things. I don't have a garage or a washer dryer.
I got to paint the scenario. Okay. I'm not telling you it's the majority of people.
This is a great scenario. I'm just telling right
you.
Now.
All right. So now you have your garage. Your washer and dryer is in the garage, I guess someplace. And then you come out of the shower and you realize, oh, crap. The only towels that I have clean are in the washing machine. So you run out the down the stairs, in through the garage, in front of your car.
That's a great scenario.
You go to the dryer, you get a towel, and then you come back, and then you have the towel on.
Yep.
So what we're saying here is, do we think the Tesla employees are now actively scanning these cameras, hoping that for the amount of time your car is parked in the garage, with no sight in mind here, that they're looking for the 2 seconds that you may have forgotten your towel?
Yeah, I mean,
no way. This is crazy. Listen, here's the thing.
From what I've read, it's almost like they were trying to one up each other with who can find the more crazy stuff on the cameras.
Well, so now, my question is for Elon Musk. The truth is, dude, maybe you need to stop screwing around with the Twitter logo. You need to get over here and get your employees back to work.
This might be completely wrong, false information here, but I only skimmed over it. But I think someone said that they were able to see on the dash cam on Elon's vehicle, in his car, in his garage, or wherever it was. So apparently it said from 2019 to 2022, there was an option. If you consented to it, the camera will roll while the car is off. So it'll capture stuff. So they were able to see inside of people's garages where it is. So that's crazy stuff.
I'm not telling you that there's not implications where it could be weird. I'm just saying that, like, if it doesn't capture audio inside the car, if it doesn't show the people inside the car, if it doesn't transmit a GPS, then essentially the view that you have, isn't it close to public record?
It does do a GPS. They were saying that they were able to locate who potentially owned that car because of GPS.
Well, see, that to me is a whole different... Yeah. That's a horse of a different color.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, truth is...
Here's a scenario. Street park car, acceptable for you to walk to it naked. Here's one.
All right. Here's another one.
So you're a police officer.
Hypothetically, well, right? I'm a police officer. Do I carry a big gun?
That's the wife calling.
Do you have to take that?
Huh?
You have to take that?
I think it's all right.
All right.
Do
I carry a big gun?
Yeah.
Damn right, I do.
The biggest.
Damn right I do, kids. Pay attention.
So, all right, so you're a police officer.
That's right.
You're
the law.
You're the law. Staying in a normal neighborhood. You're in that area.
Yeah.
Right?
Looking for drug addicts.
I live by myself.
Right.
And my cats. Okay?
I want to arrest you already.
I live by myself and my cats. My car is parked in the street.
Yeah.
I don't have a parking lot. I don't have
a street park.
I don't have a driveway.
No, right.
Yeah, no driveway.
Street parking.
Yep. I'm taking a shower or something, but I was also cooking something because I was irresponsible.
You're cooking and showering.
So I put something on the stove.
Right, and then you went and took a shower.
Yeah, you forgot about it. Forgot about it.
Absolutely, right.
And you come out of the shower and the smoke detector's going off and whatever, and you grab your cats.
Grab your cats.
And you got out of the shower.
Priority.
You save the cats.
Right, save the cats.
And then you bring them to your car for safety because the whole place is about to go in flames. And you're naked. Because you just got out of the shower. Because there's a fire in your house.
All right, so I'm... All right. Same scenario. I'm the cop.
So then you
I'm
are,
the cop.
You,
Hold on a second.
So
I'm
you're,
the cop.
You're sitting there.
I'm just cruising through the neighborhood.
You see,
looking for burglars.
Right.
And crack. Don't do drugs.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, I see a man there, wet, holding two cats.
Yes.
With smoke billowing out of the front door.
Yes, yes.
And he's butt naked.
Yes.
What do I do?
I don't know, but I'm saying, so then you go, whoa, what the heck is going on here? And you go, and I go, sir, house is on fire. Can you call a firefighter, please? And I'm going to put my cats in here where they're safe.
Actually, I was thinking, I roll up and I say, dude, is this all happening because of the cats? I don't know. I don't like that scenario one bit.
But
I almost think that,
you know. If you look back in history, that had to happen at least once somewhere.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, clearly, probably.
That's had to happen.
Of course.
No?
No, I think everybody cooks where they shower and then runs for the cats.
Yeah.
With no towel on.
I feel like it had to be, it doesn't seem too far-fetched, honestly.
I'm telling you right now, first off, I'm very clothed up
and person has to own a Tesla, which makes the scenario a lot less unlikely.
Okay, yeah, maybe. I'm just saying that in the hypothetical situation here, that if I was to, I'm clothed very well in my home, but I promise you that the house could be on fire. If I don't have drawers on, I'm looking for them. I don't care if I have to take like a whole laundry basket and throw it out of my window before I jump out of the house.
That's the worst scenario. You have kids. I mean, like, you know.
I got to put my drawers on before I save them.
Wow. Okay.
Is that bad?
I don't know. I don't have kids.
Wait. Hold on. Can I just paint the other picture for you? Let's say I don't put my drawers on. First off, I don't know why my drawers are off.
True.
But like, hypothetically, let's say that my drawers are on. Okay? Yeah. No, my drawers are not on. Right. I don't know why they're not. I'm very sorry to everybody that witnessed anything that happened here. And honestly, I think in this situation, Tesla people, they get what they're deserved.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I don't have drawers. If I now grab both my children naked and tell them there's a fire, we got to jump out the window.
What if they tell you there's a fire? Like, Dad, there's a fire.
Right. And then I'm like, all right, kids. And then I'm like, let's go. No. I don't think and then I'm going to be standing outside waiting in front of the fire department.
No, you'll probably be inside the car and then the dash camera will get all that.
Oh, because I have a Tesla.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I would have taken my little keychain that flops around.
Yes.
I would have remembered to bring the keychain, but I wouldn't have remembered to put on underwear.
One's quicker. If you had to time me to do either one of those tasks, grab my keys or put on my underwear.
I promise
One's
you.
Faster.
Yeah, putting on my underwear.
Then grabbing your keys?
So much faster.
There's just no way. I don't believe it.
Where do you keep your keys, man?
They're just like on my desk.
Where do you keep your underwear?
In a drawer?
Like, put it in a drawer by your bed, right?
Yeah.
Presumably, in the middle of the night, you're probably by your bed, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you're not wearing drawers.
Right.
Something's going on if you're not wearing drawers.
Right.
Okay. So, you're not wearing drawers. You're going to run past the drawer where the underwear is, down the hall to wherever you keep your keys.
Yeah.
Grab the two cats, head on out, no underwear. I say pit stop at the drawer. Jen, listen, if you're watching, I suggest you guys do some more fire drills and encourage the first step in the fire drill to be Richie grabbing his drawers.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
It's an interesting situation.
That's why I have a fire extinguisher, though, just in case.
Oh, right. You're going to put the fire.
Yeah, so instead, I'll just fight it instead of run out. you know?
Fight it. Yeah. Oh, man. It takes all kinds. It's like the guy that puts out the fire with the garden hose.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's
never going to happen. I don't know, man. So that's, you know, that's the nature of things.
But yeah, so anyways, so the people are going through these camera footages. Yeah. They're able to see where the car is located roughly by GPS, mm-hmm. and they can see stuff like from the correct time frame. They're able to see stuff while the car is off.
Yeah.
Which is like crazy. And then, you know, there was another report of like the employees sending around a video of a Tesla driver who hit a kid on a bicycle. And it was, I don't know how severe it was, but they sent that video. And, the quote-unquote thing was it spread like wildfire. Like, that's it. What the heck?
Listen, so this brings up a point.
That's exactly what I was talking about.
I have 2 points to this whole thing. I want your opinion.
Yeah.
Number one, in a certain sense, is there a safety thing here? Is there an OnStar type of protection here at some point, because because think about it, like you essentially have an additional security camera. So one, you may capture somebody trying to steal your car. Two, you may capture somebody breaking into something else. Three, you may have the ability in a devastating sense of a fatal accident,
mm-hmm.
to acquire the footage.
Yeah, of course.
Right, but then there's another piece to this. Point number two, that at what point, if these cameras are not ruled private enough, could they potentially be used against you? For example, there's a fatal accident.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one driving.
Yep.
You're the one that caused it. Without your permission or consent,
they can pull that footage.
The car sends it. Or insurance companies that are now using the camera to record, miles per hours and stuff. And listen, right now there are insurance companies that are doing this. That's why if you've ever seen like Progressive, I think they have that little plug-in thing. They'll give you a discount. They call it Safe Drivers. You put something into your OBD2,
mm-hmm.
and essentially you get this. If you're a good driver, you get a discount. And what they're essentially doing is they're monitoring your vehicle's data to basically see if you're speeding or, you know, if you're using seatbelts and stuff. And so right now it's somewhat voluntary. Now I will say, from somebody that's been in the automotive industry for a while and has done some other things, that the idea of having automotive black boxes is not something new. In fact, Mercedes has had one for a long time, to the point where a dealer, in the event of a serious accident investigation, some of these vehicles,
mm-hmm.
not just Mercedes, but some of these other vehicles now, can actually be, they can download the time leading up to the crash. And they can basically figure out exactly what the inputs were.
Oh, and how fast you were going?
Well, they could see everything. They could see they could see your throttle position. They could see when you brake. They could see when, you know, anything that you can data log from the car's, you know, onboard computer can be essentially downloaded.
Mm-hmm.
So
who's that benefit?
Well, I think
the insurance companies.
But let's look at this, because I think this is a tough one to crack. I think from an insurance standpoint, insurance companies are going to want this information because
it's easier for them to deny?
Deny or to assess blame.
That's crazy.
Okay. That's number one. I'm not saying it's right.
It's crappy, you know?
It's crappy. But there's another piece to it.
Yep.
Well, go ahead. You were going to say, stay on the moment.
The exact scenario of how this kind of relates to it, like in baseball, they're really upset about how when you challenge calls, like if the runner was safe, the runner was out, that type of thing, and they go back with the super – really good cameras and they could see every little millisecond frame by frame to see if he was out or not, they really started to digest that too far. And they were saying the original intention of disputing a call was to overturn really, really obvious wrong calls, not to break it down to such a finite, you know, discrepancy. So,
yeah.
So that being, this is kind of like that. They're kind of, they're overdoing it too much to the point where it's almost, they're gonna be able to deny you over very little things that, you know, I don't know.
All right. So, but you know, there's, and I'm not as, when I'm saying these things, I'm not an active supporter of the ability to lose, like to have your data, you know, taken, right? Like I'm not supporting this. I'm just saying here's some other sides to it, right? For example, let's say the situation exists where, like, if you're in an airplane and there's a crash, they download the black box because they're trying to see what happened.
Right.
Because of the odds that if they can figure out what happened, they could potentially stop it from happening again.
Yep.
If you apply that same logic, could this vehicle data be composited in a way that could essentially allow, you know, whether it be AI technology or some of the vehicle assisted systems to get better and better and better to the point where now these systems are able to prevent further accidents.
But that's for like R&D teams, not more for insurance companies.
But so far, all the only gripe I've really heard you say is like you're upset if the data is used against you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what if a law comes out that basically says this data can be recovered or whatever it may be, but can't be used against you in an insurance sense.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that.
See, I still do. It's tough. I still feel that
it's just too much invasion.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think at some point, you know, you're always going to have that thing. You know, like how far do you take it? Do you get to a point where like every single car has to have a breathalyzer in it to be able to start it? Like that's how you stop drunk driving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with a reason. You'd have to do a DNA thing first, you know.
Or prohibition, round two.
Well, that didn't work the first time either. But you know, have somebody else blow into the tube. So you have to figure out some ways around that. But what I'm saying is, theoretically, if you put in some sort of a way of making sure that, you know, everybody has to provide proof before, then you stop. But is that just too far? Like, you know, you're going to have people that will go back and forth on it. And, you know, I think no matter what debate you take on, whether you take on gun control laws or you take on, you know, drunk driving or under the influence or accident investigation, I think there's always going to be this level of, you know, error that happens on somebody's part.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when you get to a world where everything is diagnosed like that, you either have two points of view. One, everything's super transparent, so you're less likely to make these mistakes out of fear of being, you know, outed. Or you have kind of one of these things where you now feel like the world's closing in on you, that you can't ever have a private moment.
Yep.
Everything is being viewed. And that's where I struggle a little bit. Because I think that when you get to a point where every single moment of your life is data logged and recorded, whether it be a valid reason or not, you start to struggle with, like, where am I at peace just to be me?
Mm-hmm.
We got really deep and really philosophical. But it brings on to another good point, which is, are some of these systems getting too complex? Are some of these systems capable, you know, that they're, like, so they take this feedback and they turn them into vehicle systems, right? And they say, okay, we've made these systems so that you won't have an accident. It will stop your car for you. It will divert the lane assist.
Yep.
I feel like I've had more issues with some of these systems than not.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, can some of these systems cause crashes? Right?
Yeah. Well, they can. There's already a video of just talking about Tesla again. There was a video about a Tesla that, like, took a wrong self-driving thing and it ended up stopping in the middle of the highway and it caused like a super multi-car accident because it for some reason just stopped on the highway when it was self-driving.
Yeah.
So like that's
bad.
Well, so now my question here is, now let's go back to the insurance point of view.
But that's self-driving, not driver assist, but
okay, yeah. Fair. Yeah. But like in self-driving vehicles at this point, you still have to be a manned occupant.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Tesla, even when you're using a self-driving feature, says that you must keep your hands on the steering wheel.
Yep.
So if that is the way we're following things, and you're using this data logging as an ability to make these systems better and smarter, do we get to a point where it's like, wait, what point during an accident do we pull data and the only people who are at fault, what we call it no fault, but now from a occupant standpoint? Like if I'm in a self-driving vehicle holding onto the steering wheel, whatever it may be, and this thing causes an accident,
should now
both all the people involved?
Are you saying where does the blame go?
Right.
Yeah.
Should they all be dismissed? No. What's going to happen is the insurance company will say, well, it's your vehicle that would be at fault, which means your policy would have to pay for it.
Yeah, but then that person is going to say it wasn't me, it was the company.
Right. And then the company. So
the company's going to say it wasn't our fault. You didn't do this right.
So don't you think just going down this path of logic, we now need to, before we even get to the stage of, well, we're already there. But like before, when you get to these self-driving vehicles, isn't there needs to be legislation passed that basically says, in the event of this, this is who will accept the fault?
I guess so.
Are insurance companies going to make the argument that they're not obligated to pay for an accident if it was caused by the car's technology or something to that effect?
It almost makes me, I don't even know if this is correct, I might just be spitballing here, but it makes me feel like it's going to have to be the companies that are going to offer some kind of auto insurance.
Yeah, but like, so you know? What ends up happening is now, let's say the automotive, then they go back to the automotive manufacturer, and the automotive manufacturer, you know, let's say, you know, like an insurance company, sometimes they'll do what's called subrogation, meaning that you put in a claim, the insurance company will pay out the immediate drivers, take care of it off of your policy. But then they'll then turn around if they feel the fault was assessed in another direction. In other words, let's say they think it is Tesla or they think it is, you know, one of these other EV companies. They'll go after them and say, hey, you owe us for this because we paid out and really it was your fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to have legislation about everything else. You need to have legislation about, like, who's at fault, how does this stuff work, before you just allow it to be one of those things where people now are, you know, kind of just hanging on to the wheel.
Well, here's a question then, in a hypothetical situation. Say autonomous driving gets to a point where it's, like, pretty normal, right? Like, whatever. Does that mean that anyone who has a self-driving car, like, they just don't, they're not going to need insurance?
I mean, how could that be possible?
I mean, if you're
not, you would be saying that self-driving is so good, it's so safe, it's impossible for there to ever be an accident.
But why would you yourself, as a owner of that vehicle, ever take blame for not your actions?
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? It's not your actions. It's the car.
Right.
And like whoever's at fault, whether the car malfunctioned or you were hit.
Yeah.
Either way, the owner of the self-driving car, I can't see a scenario where that person would need to have insurance for themselves.
Yeah. This is a good article. Human drivers avoid crashes 99.999819% of the time. Self-driving cars need to be even safer than that.
Wow.
You know, that's a good point. Look, I don't know. We're not going to solve anything. I don't know what to say. I just mean, like, there's so many different pieces of this puzzle. Anyhow, that's it.
This is interesting.
I think we rambled on plenty for these people.
That was a lot of rambling.
That was a lot of rambling. And good we stuff, just, though. So listen, you know, for all those who are accidentally captured on camera, butt naked in front of your Tesla, I wish you nothing but the best.
He said that you're at fault. I wish you the best.
What?
You said that those people deserve everything they get.
You do, because
I think you're doing
you
all
shouldn't
right.
have been in front of your Tesla butt naked. Now, I will say this. If you're in front of your car butt naked and there's a reason you're doing it, a really good reason.
Yeah, really good reason.
Well, then congratulations. I think you actually deserve. You probably are pretty impressed that there's a video and you probably want a copy too.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Possibly.
I don't ever want to see a copy of me naked in any sense. Anyhow, don't forget, this Friday we have a piece of content coming out. We do every Friday on our YouTube channel, Conan Wheels USA, if you're listening on one of the podcast stations there. Yep. And don't forget, we got new merch.
Yeah, new merch is out at store.koenigwheels.com.
Yeah.
We have some new hats and shirts.
Dope hats.
Yeah.
Yeah, really dope hats. Like, the quality is really nice.
Yeah, 47 brand hats. Check them out.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. We got a new shirt that's also in. And don't forget, if you're looking to clean your wheels, ceramic coating kits, store.koenigwheels.com. You can pick up a ceramic coating kit there, too. You know, keep those wheels clean. Make it easy.
Subscribe and like.
Oh, yeah. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right.